You're listening to Talk Radio X, the talk of Mulberry.
Hey, you guys! I'm making my lunch! So can I get you gentlemen something more to drink? Or maybe something to nibble on? Some pizza shooters, shrimp poppers, or extreme fajitas?
It's the Lunchtime Show with Bill and Jason, live from the Mulberry Food Court.
I said lunch, not lunch!
Lunchtime show. Lunchtime. Lunchtime show, Bill.
It is. I'm eating. It's lunch.
And I've got an Orange Julius, finally, Bill.
Did you?
I'm in heaven.
Oh, those are good.
Very pulpy.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you see the concentrated orange juice that says no pulp? I'm like, what? Why? You want the pulp, don't you?
Well, some people don't like the pulp, but I like it extra pulpy.
Mmm, me too. I don't know what
I
that
like
means,
to know that I'm like, I want to eat my orange juice.
Yeah.
I want to know that I'm, you know, drinking it.
I go through phases where orange juice is like the most important drink I have like every morning. And then I get burned out and don't drink it for like a year.
Really?
Is it like the acidity or something? Your body's like, no, can't take it anymore.
Yeah, that might have something to do with it. Maybe like an overload of vitamin C.
That's got to be what it is.
Do you start glowing?
Yeah.
Or is it like, wait a second, that wasn't glowing. That was, what movie was that from? What's that sound from?
I'm not sure.
Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, that sound?
Oh, okay, that sound.
Now, Bill, yesterday, I thought yesterday's show went rather well. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it did. I liked talking to Brock and Steven, and that was just great.
Fun taking phone calls?
Yes.
So as soon as the show's over and we're wrapping up and everything, and my cell phone rings, and it's my daughter's school. She's in preschool right now. And they never call me, keep in mind.
Yeah, was everything okay?
Well, they say, we've got Emma here, and she's just come off the playground. We're coming in. They do like a little nap time before the end of the day. And
sure.
I said, Emma, what's that in your nose? And she said, oh, it's a rock. She said, you have a rock in your nose? She goes, yeah. She was like, how did it get there? She goes, I put it there. She was like, can you take it out? And she said, no, it's stuck. She was like, oh, my goodness. She said, well, come with me. And the lady who I don't know what she's called, but she runs all the she runs the school basically.
It's not really principal.
Yeah, kind of like the principal, but she's like the coordinator. And so she calls me on the phone. She's like, Emma has a rock in her nose, and we can't get it out. And we didn't want to use tweezers, so we're just kind of asking you what you wanted to do. And I was like, like maybe you know. I knew what she was alluding to, like, do I want to take her to the emergency room or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So as I'm thinking of a million things in my head, instant, like, oh, my God, how do we get it out? And I was thinking, maybe if I'm there, I could get it out because she would trust me to try harder, you know?
Yeah.
Then they said, oh, wait, it's out. Never mind. We're going to send her back to class. Sorry about that. We'll see you soon. What was that, Bill?
You know, I'm eating lunch. I'm a little gassy. I'm sorry.
So, basically, the rock comes out, and she's fine. But I thought it was pretty funny.
So, when the rock came out, did it scream, Aku Machente?
Yeah. But I said, why did you stick a rock in your nose? And she did the, I don't know. I guess it was just a fun thing to try.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the kid's sort of thing. They want to try different things. Why not shove a rock up the nose? You should just be happy it wasn't two rocks in both nostrils.
Yeah, what was weird is that she's never done anything like that before. I mean, I guess kids stick their fingers
up there. She's
getting
to that age where she wants to experiment.
Yeah, I always stuck my finger up my nose, but I don't know if I ever stuck maybe some Legos from time to time. I probably got an old Lego jammed up there now.
Yeah, I can't really remember ever sticking anything up my nose.
Hey, maybe
but
that's
sure
why Steven Predator snorts. Maybe he's got something jammed up there from when he was a kid.
I think you've hit the nail on the head, buddy. I think that's exactly it. He's got like an old Lego up his nose or something.
And by the way, someone said, could I say the date? So I'll do that. This is the Lunchtime Show, Thursday, September 27th, 2007. Because I guess every Lunchtime Show podcast sounds exactly the same. So if you have multiple ones on your iPod
Great.
Or MP3 player.
Well, that's a real compliment.
Yeah, but
they all sound the same.
Well, they start out the same, so maybe if you're skipping, I want to listen to Thursdays. You have no way of knowing. I guess if you have a readout, you could see that, but I'll just start saying the date at the beginning of the show. How's that, Bill?
That's great.
Yes. Now, Bill, before we go any further, the last 2 days I wanted to ask you about your new obsession, but I keep forgetting to.
Obsession? I have an obsession now. Oh, no.
Now, you've been into Halo 3, but really you've been playing something else because you said, you know, I was like, Bill, how's Halo 3? Is it pretty cool? Oh, I've been playing my Atari 5200. And I was like, what are you talking about? What did I
well,
just
you
time
know,
travel?
I have always been a classic gaming fan. Like, I remember, gosh, when I was a little kid, we always had an Atari 2600, you know, the kind, the black kind with the wood veneer on it.
Yeah.
The entertainment system, the VCS.
I missed the wood veneer.
Yeah, that was great. And, you know, my sisters got that for Christmas before I was born, I think.
Right.
And the moment I was born, I was, you know, my mom wouldn't put a one of those whoopee things in my mouth. I would just, she would just give me an Atari joystick, and that rubber on the joystick I would put in my mouth, I guess. And so I've been obsessed with, you know, classic gaming since I was a little kid. And recently, whenever we watched King of Kong,
right.
I just got this bug.
Yeah.
Like, must play Donkey Kong.
And
must play Pac-Man. You know, must play Zaxxon. You know, or Zaxxon. So
Old arcade games.
Yeah, I went first. The thing I did was I went downstairs. You know, I moved to this new house in I think February of last year. Yeah, and so I still have everything boxed up. And downstairs in my basement in my dungeon, I have my Atari 7800 with all my 2600 games and my 7800 games, and I hooked that up. And I started playing them. And then I thought about how much I used to love to go to my friend Josh's house and play the ColecoVision. I mean, he hated it because he had it, you know, and
right.
he had it upstairs away from everything.
How could he hate the Coleco?
Yeah, and I would bug the crap out of him so that I could go upstairs and play Cabbage Patch Kids or Smurfs or, you know. So we would do that, and I was thinking about that, and I went on eBay, and I started searching for ColecoVision systems, and I was lucky enough to find one, a brand new ColecoVision, never opened, found in a toy store basement.
That's insane.
Yeah, never used. It's perfect. When I got it, I opened it, and it was like that whiff of old plastic that all those toy stores smelt like when you were a kid. And it was just like instant nostalgia. Once I got that in my nose, I got like drug crazed on the smell of
that's crazy
old plastic. Yeah, and I went on
does it still
eBay.
Work? How do those things still work? I guess
I don't know, but it works. It's perfect. It works in every possible way. So I went on eBay, or I went on some Atari sites like Atari Age, Atari Max, Video Game Critic, you know, stuff like that, and I found what were the best ColecoVision games, and I made a list, and I went on eBay, and I bought, you know, the entire checklist of games, and I've been playing the crap out of my ColecoVision. And recently, I got a new obsession with the Atari 5200. It was a system I never owned.
Right.
No one ever had around me. It was either 2600, Coleco, or Nintendo. So I got this obsession with it, and I went on and found one in excellent condition in the box and bought it and for $40.
$40? Wow.
$40. I got it on Tuesday, and I hooked it up, and the only game it came with was Countermeasure. So I've been playing the crap out of Countermeasure, and amazingly, the controllers still work. There, I was reading online that the Atari 5200 controllers were so bad.
They were, because they would get stuck in one direction.
Yeah, well, they don't have a. They're not self-centering. So
exactly. Yeah, like if you're playing Pac-Man or something, would be hellacious to play because sometimes it would get stuck in one direction.
Yeah, and they're really bad to play Frogger with and all this. So they still work, you know, but they're not very good. And I, been playing with that. And now I'm online, and I bought, like, a rebuild kit for the controllers. And the greatest thing is I found out on these great classic gaming sites that people actually take these old systems, crack them open, refurbish all the circuitry, and they go into the... to like the circuit board, and they install stereo outputs and S-video composite component outputs directly on the units.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, so you get crystal clear picture, perfect sound off of these things, and you don't have to worry about those little RF switch boxes.
Oh man, those are horrible.
That's yeah, so
TVs only had that one coax input.
Oh, and it looks so bad. It's like all staticky and
oh, man.
Just awful.
I'm jealous. So, see, that's what I wonder. I'm sorry, but like
I contacted this guy in Canada, and I'm going to send him my ColecoVision first, and he's going to completely refurbish any of the circuitry, rework the controllers to get the stiffness out of them since they're
How does he? 25
years old
for something like that.
What?
How much does someone charge for something like that?
It's going to cost me, I think, $100 to have a full refurb and modification done on it.
Shit, I'm going to start a workshop in my garage. I'll start doing
that. Yeah, he's going to remove the BIOS in the ColecoVision that has that 12-second delay. You know how you'd put the game in, turn it on, and you'd have to wait 12 seconds before it came to the player screen?
Right.
So he's replacing that so there's
no
way.
How do people learn to do this stuff?
I don't know. I guess they just become so obsessed with it that they just continue to do it.
See,
so,
what I would worry about doing is I owned a ColecoVision. I loved it as a child. I had a friend who owned the 5200. There were times where he would spend the night at my house or I'd spend the night at his, and we would just play a game like all Friday night or something.
Yeah.
But I would sit there for one nostalgic afternoon and play, and then like not want to play anymore is what I'd worry about, and it would just be a big waste of time.
See, I just like having them. Even if I don't play them all the time, it's a matter of having them, the collection of them.
Right, I got you.
Great,
it's kind of like starting a new hobby.
Yeah, it really is, but it's an old hobby, just rejuvenated, or just. I'm all about it again.
Now, you haven't played your Coleco yet because you're about to send it out?
No, I have played it. I've had it for about 2 weeks now.
Now, have you played Cosmic Adventure?
Yes.
That was one of my favorites, man.
What's funny about Cosmic Adventure, what's the game I'm thinking of?
Defender?
Galaga. It's a Galaga ripoff. Defender.
Yeah.
You're right, Defender.
It's side-scrolling. Side-scrolling
shooter.
And
what's so funny is that if you go through all these old games, like for the 2600, I have Flash Gordon. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's the same game.
I would play that game wishing there was an ending, because I could go on forever. Like, you could just play it all night long and go, does this game ever end? And it never does. It just goes over and over.
Lately, I've been obsessed with Missile Command for the 2600, and when I saw that they had Missile Command for the 5200, I was like, oh!
Oh, nice. See, you know what? They have those compilations of 2600 games, and that's like 15 minutes, like, yeah, I remember this. And then I get sick of it because even though stuff like combat could be fun, the graphics did suck ass, and I can't...
Oh, yeah,
but
sure.
But Coleco is a step up in the 5200. Like, if you play Pac-Man or Defender, the graphics were awesome, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. In fact, most compilation discs that you get of anything Atari, it's the 5200 versions.
Nice.
Because they were the step up. They didn't really make any of those games, like the Pac-Man and all that, for the 7800. But this is where the cool
cool stuff? Bill? Whom goes the dynamite? You gonna keep me in suspense? Oh crap, did we lose Bill? Hey, we did. Hey everybody, lunchtime show! We lost Bill! Oh my god! One of the ghosts from Pac-Man got him. The hell? That's crazy. Well, anyway, hey, it's a solo show, everybody. Lunchtime. How you doing, Foggy? Hmm? Yeah, I'm enjoying this. Yo, what's with the Orange Julius? Everywhere you go, free refills. Orange Julius, it's such a prized drink. No free refills. What kind of horse shit is that? I mean, come on. So, did you guys like that rock in the nose story? Hey, shout out to NimChat, nimchatroom.com. Go to nimchat.com, chat with our buddies. If you'd like to call into the show, we have 818-935-5132. Somebody bail me out until Bill gets back. Hey, I can do the show solo, but come on. What the hell? Now, what Bill could do is he could call in on the phone or something. I don't know what happened. But last night, a lot of incredible shows. That's one thing I'm sad about. Thursday, not Bionic Thursdays. It's just a regular Thursday. How depressing is that? Very depressing. Let's see. Bill's still offline. Let's see what happens. Crazy. I'm going to give a call to a friend of the show and see if he's there. See who we can get a hold of. I think he's rebooting now.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Is this Andy?
Yep.
Andy of the Hollywood Saloon?
Hey, you're calling me? How cool is that? You can call me.
You had no idea who I was, did you?
Down with the Skype, man. That's good. Well, it's on a delay, so I'm listening to the show.
Oh, man, I'm struggling. Oh, wait. We got Bill back. Let's see.
I think the city he's in exploded or something. I don't know.
It did explode.
No, excuse me.
Hey, Bill, dude, I'm just panicking here.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. My power just went out. We're having a thunderstorm.
Oh, no problem. But I was like, hey, I'm going to call somebody.
Yeah, well, good thing you did. Thanks for saving my ass there, Andy.
Hey, what's up, man?
Well, it's funny because I called Andy and he's like, hello? And I'm like, hello? Like waiting for him to recognize
like,
me.
What?
Who is this?
I'm sorry.
It's the lunchtime show.
Radical.
Sorry, it wasn't the bad time to call, was it?
Absolutely not. I'm just sitting here in Nim chat having fun with everybody, talking. I wanted to get in on the conversation anyways over the classic gaming. I mean, that's right. I love all that talk.
What I was saying before my power cut out was, you know, after all this research I've done about classic gaming, I found all these enthusiast websites like AtariAge.com, Atari Max. So Atari Age, there are people that actually still write and release games for the 5200, the 7800, the ColecoVision.
They still program games?
Yeah, the 2600. Like, somebody actually... Because Pac-Man, the original Pac-Man, was never released on the Atari 7800. Somebody went and wrote the original Pac-Man along with Miss Pac-Man, Pac-Man Jr., the Puck-Man, like all the different versions of Pac-Man.
Oh, man, I remember Puck-Man.
And wrote it and released it for the 7800. It's called the Pac-Man Collection. And
now,
you can buy it.
I got a question.
You can buy it on a card page.
Bill, I got a question for you. Okay, let me just get this straight. There's the Atari 2600, which was the original Atari, right?
Yes.
And then you go to the 5600 and then the 7800?
The 5200 and then The 7800 was Atari's answer to the Nintendo, but it failed miserably. That the 5200 was like the era of the 5200, the ColecoVision, the Intellivision. That was like the late great era. That's pretty much whenever
that was before the huge video game crash.
Yeah, before Nintendo hit, and then everybody was running for cover.
Yeah, when the video crash happened in the 80s, game systems were gone until Nintendo came back. In America, anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I had my Atari 2600, and I didn't get another system until... Well, I let me take that back. I had one of those Atari computers. Now, do you remember those?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, the 5200, the Atari 5200... is the Atari computer. It is the 8-bit Atari computer. It is based off of that infrastructure.
See, I had that, so I had Donkey Kong and all those games on that, and it was pretty rocking. I mean, I remember, you know, thinking, these are really good games on this little Atari computer.
Minor 2049er for the Atari computer, and the Atari 5200 is one of the best games ever, and I do not understand why they haven't replicated it into a game now, or why it just kind of disappeared.
I played that game so addictively forever and ever and ever. I mean, it was awesome, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, after War Games came out, I wanted a computer so bad. And you know what? They had so many crappy home computers back then. Like
Amiga.
I remember there was they advertised this one. It was like a $300 computer called the Aquarius.
Oh.
And I was like, "Dad, please, it's so cheap." He's like, "We can't get that right now, son." I was like, "God, well, it has a cassette drive. Come on."
Remember the Atom? That was the ColecoVision computer.
Never had a computer, man, until I was an adult.
I just remember going to Radio Shack and seeing that TRS-80 and thinking, what a load of crap.
Yeah.
I thought it was so cool. It's like, you mean the monitors right next to the disk drive and the keyboard? It's all one unit? Awesome! And then you watch old Battlestar Galacticas, and they have those.
Yeah.
Like, man, even in the future, the TRS-80
the computer is
badass.
It's not outdated yet.
Look at those vector graphics.
It's a good thing they made it where you could just replace, you know, all of the parts with new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, Andy, thank you for joining us. Thanks for bailing me out there.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank
you guys,
Andy.
Have fun. Thanks for calling me in need. I'm here anytime, my brothers.
All right, man. We're waiting for the Saloon to go live.
Not ready to make that announcement yet, but it's in the works, let's say that.
All right. I can't wait. Maybe you'll come on our show and announce it.
Maybe so. That would be a great place. All right, gentlemen. Be good.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
Now, Bill, I was reading today. You know, we've talked about Nielsen ratings before, right?
Sure.
And how they're a bunch of crap. We don't like how they do it because everyone's got TiVo now, DVR, stuff like that. But Nielsen is now tripling their Nielsen families. Apparently, they're...
Oh, boy.
They're like, right now, they're like 12,000 households. And when you hear that number, isn't that pretty low representing the whole country?
Yeah.
Well, now they're expanding to around 37,000.
Oh, boy.
And you can...
No one wants to be a Nielsen family because it's a pain in the ass.
Well, I was seeing that you could go to their website now and, like, apply to be part of the Nielsen family.
Oh, boy.
I think I'm going to do it.
But you can't do it if you have a DVR.
Huh?
You have the Nielsen box is not compatible with a TiVo or a DVR. And the crazy thing about it is that, like, you have to let it know what you're watching, when you're watching it, how long you're watching it. It's a job.
Well, what I've read is that they're kind of expanding. They want to know what you're watching on your iPod, what you're watching on your computer. They want to know everything now. And I don't know how they'll compile that into data, but at least they're expanding a little bit.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But do you get paid for it?
I doubt it.
Is it just a volunteer basis?
Yeah.
Because I think I'm going to apply. I want to be a Nielsen family. It's the only way to keep dirty, sexy money on the air.
Yes, and man women.
Yes. Hey, I watched that, Bill. Which one was the man woman?
The Billy Baldwin's man woman mistress.
Oh, well, I thought it was a member of the family that was one.
No, it's a mistress, I guess.
But on the show, they say it's a man-woman.
Yeah, I guess they do. So it's a man-woman playing a man-woman.
Oh, okay. Now, Bill...
And if Billy Baldwin kisses the man-woman, isn't he technically kissing a man?
Yeah, but okay. he's a method actor. Now, Bill, some shows came on last night, and one of them, Kitchen Nightmares, did you watch it?
I did.
I thought it was pretty good, but you know what? They, more than the pilot, they've now... I hate the recap after commercials.
Why do they have to go back?
Whenever they show what happens, Chef Gordon Ramsay's yelling at somebody, and then goes to commercial, comes back, and they replay the scene.
Yeah, like 5 seconds of it.
Why do they do that? That's what drove us nuts about Who Wants to Be a Superhero. That's
because
like,
they think stupid? I don't know.
It's got to be that. They think we're freaking morons. But another thing is, didn't they pull out some of the Hell's Kitchen music on this episode?
Yeah, I think they did.
They ran out of music or something. And now this, he's trying to bail out, or he's trying to help a new restaurant every week. And this one is an Indian/Western restaurant.
Yeah, which is quite possibly the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
It's a nasty restaurant.
Yeah.
Nasty. There are bugs, there are flies in the dining room, the food's rotted. How has someone not died at that place is what I want to know.
I'm not sure if somebody hasn't. Because it sure sounds like it.
But didn't you love, what's that one guy's like, automatically Gordon doesn't like the main manager guy.
Well, he never does.
The British guy. Because he's like, this is your responsibility. What are you doing about this? And they show him he's getting his hair stroked by a waitress. And don't you love when he calls him out? You know, you're living off a generous, rich guy.
Yeah.
You're taking advantage of him. He's a nice guy, so you're taking his cash, but you're not doing a good job.
I just don't understand people like this. How does this even happen? How do people let this happen?
One thing I wondered is this guy who got fired, or he ended up quitting, is that the guy suing Gordon Ramsay?
Yeah, this is. This is the restaurant that, I guess it was initially banned from airing in New York because of a lawsuit filed by that Martin Hyde, the manager.
Wow. And that's what I was wondering. I was like, this has got to be the guy who's suing him. Because he's such an ass. And you could see
Well, the case was thrown out of court, so...
Oh, okay. Why does it seem like last week and this week, these guys who are running places into the ground, they're so vain? You know, they're so... They think they know it all, and they end up not knowing anything.
Yeah, it's just the way people are. Oh, didn't it have green hamburgers?
Oh, that was my... There was a part where he goes, what's down here? And you see rat droppings, you see bugs... Mm-hmm. I was getting sick to my stomach. Because you start to think...
so tasty.
When you watch that, don't you think in the back of your head, I've probably eaten in a place that's like this in the back.
Yeah, you want to eat before you watch this episode, because you're not going to want to after.
Oh, man. And the part where he's looking at all the rotted food. I love how he's like, look! Look! Look, it's rotten. Look. And he's like holding it up. He's like, look. He just keeps saying, look.
You know what's so bad about these is even on the British series, there was never a place that was that bad as the restaurant before and this one. You know, they would have like rotten scallops or something.
Right.
But I have never in the entire British series seen something green, like a green mold fuzz on stuff. It's just shocking to me that people have that and just don't care.
And it just seems like there were a lot of employees of that store, too.
Yeah, it's shocking to me. Shocking.
But it's a good show, but they don't have to do all the crap, the reality show crap, where the musical stuff, and there's a part that seems... Remember when he introduces the new menu with the chef? And the guy will say, the you know, patrons are getting tired of waiting for their food. And then they show them, like, I'm really getting tired of waiting for my food. Yeah, this is taking forever. Some patrons complain it was cold. My food's cold. And then later on, when things pick up again, they're like, patrons started getting happy about their food and they were enjoying it. One person said,
this is really good.
One person said, this is really good. And for that price, I'm like, come on, give me a break here.
Yeah, they're feeding them lines. And that's another thing that's really bad about
Hell's
the Americanized version is they don't do that with the British version.
On Hell's Kitchen, whenever they show the people in the dining room, I always feel like they've got lines they're saying.
They're feeding them lines, absolutely.
They've got to be. It just seems so... But they don't need any of that because they've got Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, I just... You know, I wish that they would take a step back and reevaluate the way they're shooting the show. I love the show. I love it. Gordon Ramsay is the man. I think that a lot of people get to see who he actually is that haven't. You know, the American audiences just see Hell's Kitchen, him yelling at everyone, being an asshole.
Right.
But the British audiences, they see his shows, you know, like Boiling Point that aired a couple years ago. There was a Hell's Kitchen over there, but it was with celebrities. The F Word, which is the show that ran for three seasons.
Yeah, he's had a lot of shows, hasn't he?
Yeah, and the F Word had a lot to do with, like, the absolute bare essentials of food, and it involved his family and his kids, and it just showed what type of guy he is. And I think people are starting to see that here with Kitchen Nightmares, but it's just so overproduced in the music, and they don't need it. Pull back. Calm down.
You know what was funny is he was really nice to the waitress until she cuts him off when he's talking about that Martin guy. She's like, you're taking it out on him. He's not that bad a guy. He's like, don't cut me off when I'm talking. You know, I just love the way he was like, keep your mouth shut. I'm not talking to you. And she's kind of like, whoa.
It's a matter of respect. You know, don't be a condescending prick. You know, don't treat me like you respect me and then talk over top of me or cut me off.
Yeah, and he was basically like, look, you're having your little minions defend you when you don't do a good job. Basically making her look bad.
Yeah.
Now, Bill, I still haven't watched Kid Nation. Are you still watching that?
I am, but I didn't watch last night's episode.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I just,
no,
you know,
it's okay. I don't mind. I haven't watched it yet. But
yeah, you need to watch it, because it's a fun show.
Yesterday was Bionic Wednesday, then that would make today Smallville Thursday.
Dude, I forgot all about
Smallville it. Smallville returns tonight.
I thought you were going to say it's comedy done right night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that too. No, it's
what
Smallville night.
NBC and all these taglines for TV shows.
Remember when TGIF, Family Matters, yeah, and Full House.
Yeah, ABC was TGIF, and NBC was the first ones to use Be There.
Be There! Yeah, but tonight, I read some things about Smallville this season. I'm really excited about episodes 5 and 6 of this season.
Are you reading spoilers?
Not spoilers, just their stunt casting, okay?
Oh, really? You know what's crazy is today I was on my, I'm a self-professed celebrity picture nut. Like, I love to see, celebrities in embarrassing situations, like paparazzi photos.
Okay.
So I was on one of those sites this morning, and there were pictures of Kristen Bell in a bikini shooting a scene for Heroes.
Really?
So, yeah, on a beach. So we get to see her in a bikini on the beach
so
in
basically
Heroes. They're stunt casting for you.
These sites will never go away if you keep looking. You gotta stop.
No.
It's bad.
I want to look.
You want to look.
It's their fault. They're celebrities.
Now, you want to hear what guests are coming on Smallville?
Do we want to hear what guests are coming on Smallville?
Yes, you do.
Okay. All right.
Dean Cain on episode 5.
Holy crap.
He played Superman and Lois and Clark.
Yes, he did. And Clark.
Yes. Okay, episode 6, Helen Slater. She played Supergirl. Huh? Yeah, you see what they're doing here, huh?
I do.
I wonder how many times they've asked Gene Hackman to be on the show, and he's like, no.
I wonder if Helen Slater's still hot.
Sure, why not? Hello?
I don't know.
You know what?
Was she the one in Secret to My Success, right?
Right.
Okay, yeah.
She's the one in the Billie Jean movie that they play over in on Universal HD.
The one with the Pat Benatar theme song.
Yeah.
God,
I don't remember the lyrics, but Bill, yeah. The Office premieres tonight too. It's an hour long Office.
Is this the one where Pam and Jim go on a date?
I have no idea, but I love The Office. I'm glad it's back. I don't care.
Do they really think we care about Pam and Jim going on a date?
I do.
Together.
I want them to get together. I'm serious. They're great characters. Why not? You gotta have the characters do something.
True. But I just really don't care.
Well, it's like, you know, on Friends, they want the characters to get together. I don't think it's the same as that. Office is a smart show, and their characters go on a date, and then the next episode they don't. I mean, it doesn't matter, as long as the show keeps doing what it does. I don't really get wrapped up in the stuff like that. But
okay.
Yeah, I'd like to see them go on a date. Why not?
Yeah, but you're not like, like it'll make or break the show. Like, no. you really don't care if it's in an ad. Like, see, watch tonight.
Oh, absolutely not. Like the CSI commercial where Grissom is really worried about what's her face getting kidnapped, and they play some bad music. Do I care?
I think she gets killed off this year.
Yeah, but I don't give a crap. CSI has outworn its welcome. I mean, seriously, jeez, can it please get canceled?
What cracked me up is
but everyone
Quentin
watches
Tarantino
it.
Directs that big finale.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I don't care, because CSI sucks.
Yeah, but everyone watches
it. He could direct it all he wants. I don't care.
Now,
I cared about his Alias episodes.
Right, okay, he never directed an Alias episode, did he?
He did the episodes that he was in, wasn't he?
Huh? I don't know. Let's ask Andy that. He's an Alias expert. But here's the deal. CSI and 2.5 Men, we talk about those shows, but they're like the top-rated shows. What the hell?
It's because people are dumb.
But also people were watching Dancing with the Stars. Who watches that show? That's like the top-rated show, Bill.
Watch yourself.
That show's been on every night this week. What the hell?
Well, it's been on 3 nights this week.
Did anyone get eliminated yet?
Yeah, and you know what? It pisses me off because it just makes me angry at all the fat, bitter housefrows that watch this show and can't handle a pretty girl.
Who was it?
They voted off Josie Moran last night, that gorgeous Victoria's Secret model. And she tried so hard, you know, and it just pissed me off so much that they didn't even give her a chance. I was complaining last night that, you know, they should give the people more than just one dance for the first week. They should do like 2 weeks worth of dances so that they get a better, more even score than just one dance. And
right.
I don't know. It just pissed me off because I don't want to watch freaking that ugly, chunky bitch Marie Osmond in her Mormon magic underpants.
But isn't this about
Wayne Newton and his hair plugs and bronzer?
Bill, that's not what the show's about. It's about their dancing.
No, it isn't. It's about hot women.
Okay.
Me, at least.
That's why you watch it. Okay.
Yeah,
it's
not about anything
else. You don't care about how well they dance, right?
No.
Okay, well, I'm glad we know
that. And Andy is right. Quentin did not direct any Alias. He just appeared in them.
Yeah.
I looked on IMDb. He is 100% correct.
Yeah, I didn't think he did. I just need somebody to back me up. Now, hey, Bill, Big Shots. You going to watch that tonight? No.
No.
Skip it.
And I'm not going to watch Grey's Anatomy, and I'm not going to watch Ugly Betty, because this is like the estrogen television block.
On ABC?
Television for women postmenopausal.
You know what? Last night, a show that surprised me, it wasn't Bionic Woman. We already talked about that, but one thing, watching Bionic Woman a second time, I realized just how bad the dialogue was, how cliche.
Hello. Okay, you watched it a second time.
do not tell me that the effect of her running through the woods is good.
It's awesome.
Shut up.
The part where the little girl says, I'm just glad it's a girl doing it. And I know what they're doing. It's cool to have a show on TV where a lady kicks ass for girls. That's cool. But the part where Starbucks says, not bad. Not bad at all. That's like bad comic book dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said, the show has promise, but the way they're marketing it, it's not... If you see the preview to next week and the way they do the NBC promo, if it embarrasses you, that's bad marketing. You're embarrassing me that I want to watch next week is what NBC's doing. So, but I do think that Katie Sackhoff, she is more interesting than Bionic Woman.
Yeah, let's get rid of this doe-eyed Bionic Woman that isn't hot. Okay?
Right.
She's, like, plain. She's not, like, wow, she's hot.
Definitely, the pilot's not great, but we'll see what happens next week. But I was surprised by Life, the show with Colonel Winters.
I TiVo'd it, but I did not watch it. I was looking forward to watch it.
I thought it was an excellent-looking show. Some of the stuff was a little overwrought, but they tend to do that on pilots. They kind of tell you too much information just because, hey, this is what's going on this show. Hey, you going to tune in next week? They have to sell you on everything. Much like Bionic Woman, it was like, dude, how many minutes passed when you knew that her dad had left her and her sister? She's taking care of her sister. She's pregnant. She's with this guy who most likely she's going to marry. And boom, she's in a car accident. She's lost her limbs. And then she's been replaced by Bionics. Okay, commercial break. It's like, holy crap, that's a lot of crap to happen in the first opening minutes. But Life is about a guy who's framed for a murder. He was in jail for years. He'd been, since he was a cop, the inmates took it out on him. They beat him mercilessly. He's been stabbed several times. He's had all sorts of stitches. So he turned to, like, himself, turned inward. He studied, like, Zen and all that stuff, trying to find peace because he was in a living
grasshopper.
Yeah, he was in a living hell. So basically, when DNA and all that sci-fi type stuff... No, it's not sci-fi, it's real. But when DNA comes out and it frees him, he has this big settlement for, like, rumored $50 million, and he decides to return back to duty as a cop, right?
Okay.
And he's a little crazy because of all the time he spent in prison. And almost the first show I thought of was the show called... what was that show called? With Jeffrey Donovan, the guy on Burn Notice. Remember that show where he was shot in the head and he's trying to find the guy who shot him in the head? And he was kind of quirky cop?
It was on Fox, right?
I think it was like on TNT or USA or something. What was that show called?
I know what you're talking about, though.
Damn, my wife could tell me. But it's a good show, but that's what this is. It's kind of a quirky cop. And at first I was worried that it would be like Monk or Psych, where they've got this prowess to solve crimes. But
or that show that got canceled with Jeff Goldblum.
Right, but no, it's not really. What it is he's a good cop, but also he's trying to work through all of his mental problems in a way. And he's extremely rich.
I hope it survives long enough for me to watch it, because I like the guy that is the lead in it.
I thought him and his partner, this gorgeous lady who was also on Alias. Do you remember on Alias when Will was a reporter and he started banging his secretary?
Yes.
It's that actress.
If you can remember. What is her name?
I can't remember, but...
Sarah Shy, isn't it? Or Shahai or something?
Yeah, something like that. But it's not bad, and it's a good show. I'll just let you watch it. We'll talk about it a little on Friday, but I think it's got a lot of promise.
She was in that that episode of The Sopranos where Tony went to Vegas.
Yeah, that's her.
And dropped peyote or whatever.
Yeah, and he says, I get it! And everyone said, Tony said he did it. What does that mean? It's like, he said, I get it. Come on. I did it. It's as bad as, like, friggin' Lost stuff. You know when people hear things wrong?
I watch television to enjoy it. I don't understand why people have to be so obsessed with figuring everything out. Why can't you just be satisfied that you understood it and you're happy with that? Why do you have to go online and
you know, come up with all kinds of crazy theories.
Some people do that. Other people look at, you know, sites of girls
celeb
in bikinis.
Porn.
Yeah, celeb nudity. But, I mean, Bill, we were talking about the HD stuff, the DirecTV. If you go to those sites where guys are talking about, oh, the new DirecTV channels are up. I took screenshots of it. Here, check it out. I took it with my camera. It's like, dude, calm down. And someone was like, okay, I did a test on my box. It says my signal strength is this. What's your signal strength? Oh, I'm going to go check. My signal strength is this. And it's like, what? Come on, pick up a book. Go out to the park. Do something.
You're watching television. Be glad that you can receive it.
By the way, you know, SVU came on this week, Bill.
Oh, was it Emmy-worthy?
Emmy-worthy. It was the worst episode I've ever seen of that show. My God. Oh. Cynthia Nixon was on it from Sex in the City. Now, they did the whole multiple personality thing where she's like, I'm a little baby. And they're like, can I talk to Troy, who's inside? I'm Troy. You stay away from her. So she's doing all these different voices. She's supposed to have multiple personalities. It was embarrassing. I mean, you started to blush watching it because you're embarrassed for Cynthia Nixon. And I just kept turning to my wife and going, Emmy worthy.
I need to download that episode.
Oh, man, it's so bad. And then I'm going to spoil it for everybody. At the end, she gets off for murder. But they notice something in a picture of her on her bookshelf. It's a book that happens to be about multiple personalities. She faked the whole thing. Premeditated murder.
Dum.
But they can't prosecute her because it's double jeopardy.
Double jeopardy.
So actually, she's a very wise person. She pulled it off. Man, that... Oh, God. I cannot tell you how bad that episode was.
Really dumb.
I just love how she's like a real sweet person, and then they go, you murdered her, didn't you? And then all of a sudden she changes her face. She's like, you leave her alone! And like, oh my God, she's Troy, the evil personality. It's so bad!
Troy, I want you to go away. I'm talking
we
to
want to talk
you.
To Yeah, we don't want to talk to Troy right now. You're a jerk.
Oh, okay, I'm going to disappear to the back of her mind now. Excuse me. I can't help myself sometimes.
So, basically tonight we got Smallville and we got The Office.
I am so excited for Smallville.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about that on Nowhere Mulberry.
I am upset, though, that Chloe is gone.
Oh, she's not gone.
She was just starting to show that cleavage all the time.
She's not gone? What are you talking about?
Yeah, she is.
She's not gone from the show.
Oh, she's not? I thought Lois absorbed Chloe.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, she's probably dead.
Well, she's not dead. She's just absorbed.
Now, let me ask you this, Bill.
Her essence is within Lois.
Tonight on Smallville, Bill.
That's what makes Lois such a great reporter.
I know. But, okay, there's Bizarro. Will Bizarro be gone by the end of the episode is what I'm going to ask.
You know what? If he is, I would just die laughing because that is so Smallville.
They've taken care of... Will Chloe be back to normal? Everybody's fine. And also, Bizarro will be gone by the end of the episode.
Man, that would be so Smallville.
It would be hilarious.
I would really hope that they wouldn't do that. But there is a 50-50 chance that they might.
Oh,
I'm telling you, man, they needed to get Blaster for...
Master Blaster, listen to the law!
He has the mind of a child.
Do you want to take a phone call? We've got about 10 minutes left. If anybody calls, that is. 818-935-5132. If anybody wants to call and talk about anything we've been talking about or anything else, give us a call. 818-935-5132.
Is there anything else on tonight?
Let's see.
Or is that it?
ER premieres tonight.
Okay, I'll pass on that.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on the ER.
Now it's like all these like teen actors.
Who would work in that friggin' ER? Every week, something. There's a riot in the ER. There's a gas leak in the ER.
Andy just posted Master Lester. Hey, I can't help that I thought he said Lester.
Smallpox in the ER. It's like, we get it. It sucks to work there, okay?
Ebola or Ebola is breakout in the EO.
They left the mayonnaise out all night in the break room.
Someone left the cake out in the rain.
Salmonella.
I love that NBC guy, his voice. It's so embarrassing.
Yeah, at least we have that this season. Now we can
That bionic woman thing, she's like in a, what do you call it? A jogging bra? What are those things called?
Yeah, like a sports bra.
She's in a sports bra, and they're like, this chick kicks ass or something. It's just like, you're making me not want to watch the show. Just stop. It was like,
you're not going to be able to see her boobs jiggle.
And she's got, what were they going for with Bionic Woman? She's so dull. She's so boring.
And then at the end of it, she comes up at the end of Miguel Ferrer, and he's like, oh, so you're her, huh? And she, yes, I am.
He's like, you work for me. You're my property. I spent $50 million. She's like, if you send anyone to me, I'll send them to the morgue. Got it?
Yeah, and I'm going to turn around and walk away in the rain because someone left the cake out.
Well, okay.
And MacArthur Park is frightening in the dark.
I don't get it.
Yeah, in the angst-ridden sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where
you know
have
what?
You
I'd
been?
I'd be pretty pissed off, too, if the sister that was supposed to be watching me disappeared for days on end.
I hate that in shows. It's like Lost, where they do that, like, I can't tell you any information, and go to the other room, and the person's pissed. Come on, come up with something. Explain
I
to
mean,
them.
I mean, that is horribly irresponsible to, you know, just leave your sister out.
Yeah, like, hey, what happened? I can't tell you. You know how much
even if it sounds ridiculous.
Like if
tell
my
her,
wife didn't come home the night before, and I'm like, "Where have you been?" She's like, "I can't tell you." I'd be like, "Yeah, you can," and I would not let it go.
The huge foreshadowing of her being a hacker, not being allowed near a computer or a phone line.
You know how
of course she's going to help her in the future.
You know how you know she's a hacker? Because I think she mentioned iTunes at one point. Oh, she knows she knows computers.
Or a Linux subsystem?
Yeah. Hey, Jamie, let me reroot the subsystems. Hey, okay.
So
awesome.
Bad.
What were those? They didn't call them nanobots.
I wonder if the bionic woman runs on Linux.
They didn't call them nanobots in the show either. What were those called? The Promiteans or something? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. Something ridiculous.
Wow. And it was funny is in an interview, Katie Sackhoff said for her role as the evil bionic woman, she just did the chick from BSG, Trisha Helfer's role. She said, I just acted like Trisha Helfer does on BSG. That was she said I just aped her performance. And, you know, she did a good job. It's just her dialogue was horrible. Time out. I'm going to smoke
a cig. She looked great.
Yeah.
She looked better than... she has, but what was funny was that scene where she comes in to the guy and she's got her hair like all slicked back and wet. Like I'm evil.
Yeah, I love that. Know? I think I even said that to my wife. She's got evil hair.
Yeah. So
like,
bad.
I got some dippity doo in my hair. I'm evil.
I just got out of the shower and man, am I evil.
Yeah. I'm going to start doing that on it.
I couldn't wash the evil sheen off of me. I'm so evil.
When I start putting gel in my hair, I'm going to go, I'm giving myself an evil hairstyle. Ooh, that guy's
I've got evil dep in my hair.
Yeah. Oh, she's evil. And then, too bad Bionic Woman's just boring. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I like the scene where she's up on the roof shooting at people with that super-duper electronic sniper gun.
Yeah, what was with
and
that scope?
They do the point of view through the scope to her old flame, and she's like, oh, she picks it up and leaves. I was like, oh, she must be angry.
Yeah, that's the other thing we learned in the first, like, second of the show, that... Oh, she must be the bad Bionic Woman. Oh, she's been shot. Oh, wait, no, she's alive because she wrecks into the truck. And okay, I'm. They just like did the setup like so fast. And
clumsy.
And what do we miss because of that? Does anyone care about Jamie Summers, the Bionic Woman? You don't have time to care about
her. No, because that's not what the show's about.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it is.
You don't have time to care about the Bionic Woman. You know, hey, you have no friggin' clue who she is by the end of the show.
I can only hope that, like you said, they hired those writers that are involved in Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll give it a little, you know, overhaul, fix it up, and it'll be good.
I hope so.
What, I'm telling you, what they need to do is just do the Fall Guy, okay? And then they can team, you know, the Fall Guy or the Million Dollar Man up with...
Yeah, that's what's funny. When he said, you're $50 million on my property, I was thinking about the $6 million man. Like, would they have to change it to the $60 million man or the $600 million man?
The $6 billion man.
I know. I was like, that's pretty cheap for the powers that she has. Because when
you know what's really sad is that this Bionic Woman thing, you know, it's a remake of, you know, the Lindsay Wagner thing and all that, but... They did it better on CBS whenever they had to show Now and Again with, what's that, the guy that played the president in 24?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
David Palmer, that guy. And then they had, it was where John Goodman was a character. He gets killed, and then they put his brain in, like, this bioengineered body. And he has to, now he works for the government, and he can't see his family, but he finds ways to see his family and all that. That was a, Now and Again was one of the best shows, and it was supposed to be renewed for the second season, and then 2 days before the junket in New York, they canceled it.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's on DVD yet or what, but did you see Now and Again?
No, I've never seen it.
Really, just an absolutely terrific show. It had it was a Glenn Gordon Caron show.
It's just one of those shows that had kind of on the cusp ratings, and they found reason not to renew it, kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's
and like
gay.
The big baddie in it was the Eggman, this Chinese dude.
Huh?
Yeah, it was really great.
I
and
am
it had
a walrus.
Chad
Goo goo gajoo.
I am the Eggman.
Well, I guess we're running out of time here, Bill. It's been an exciting
show. It was entirely too fast.
That was hilarious when you got knocked offline. I was like, because it was a mid-sentence. I went, huh? I think I asked you a question, and then I was like, hello? And you were just gone.
Yeah, when that happened, I was like, oh, no.
You know what's funny is yesterday, it was an hour before the show, but the power went off.
And you know what? After the show yesterday, I went to the store and I was looking at my phone and I saw that I had a voicemail or a text message, and it was from you at 11:40 that said, my power just went out.
Yeah, I was like, we're screwed. But luckily it came back on. So
yeah, Radio Dan said we should do 2 hours. Yeah, that's real nice and all, but I don't think it's going to be happening.
Yeah, I mean, what's great about the lunchtime show is it's just that time to do it during lunch, and then got to do other stuff.
I mean, we would love to just continue bullshitting, but you know, we have to do.
I'm flattered if anyone wants to hear that, though.
Yeah. I mean, this is what we do every day. This is the whole idea of this show, is that we do this every day from the time we wake up and log on to our messengers. We just banter back and forth, you know, until we do what we need to do throughout the day. And that was the whole idea of the show.
Yeah, hopefully we could have many guests and have all sorts of fun on the show. Yeah, 4 hours. Yeah, that sounds good.
Well, you know what? We could take over Redler's show on Friday night and go till 2 a.m.
Yeah. All right, Bill, let's wrap this sucker up.
All right, T-minus, 30 seconds?
Something like that.
Well, lunchtime show next week. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Yes, Nowhere in Mulberry, 9 Central on Talk Radio X. Tune in.
Eastern.
We got all sorts of shows to talk about. We'll have Steven with us. Thank you for listening.
And he'll have the magical underpants.
Yes.
You're listening to Talk Radio X. The talk of Mulberry.